Order. Now, if you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, will you take roll?
Councilmember Perotti.
Here.
Councilmember Bennett.
Here.
Councilmember Aceves.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tempore Vallejo.
Here.
Mayor Farr.
Here. Now, we have the opportunity for people from the general public to speak on issues that would not otherwise be discussed today. And I have two people that are ready to speak. We'll have Ken Knight, followed by Michael Issa. Ken, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. My name is Ken Knight, and I'm speaking to you today as president of Your Children's Trees, a nonprofit organization involved in restoration, preservation, and education efforts about trees in urban forestry. I do not speak for any other organization. I sent you a letter this morning about the Sister Witness tree and at the old town Goleta Park site and the 14th annual Santa Barbara Airbus Champion Tree Bus Tour this Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. The reason why I'm coming to you at this time is that I don't think it was council's intent to require special event permits for a small gathering of tree preservationists interested in spending 10 minutes with the largest California sycamore tree in the nation. It doesn't seem reasonable that public safety concerns are so intense that requires a city employee to be present and to charge us for that time. The city's still protected by a $1 million insurance policy, regardless of whether we get a permit. But the city's requirements to view a public tree on public property are so onerous that it doesn't make sense for us to continue the permit process for this fundraiser, and we will once again have to view the tree from far outside the gates. But the point I wanted to make to you today is not that you need revisions to your special event permit, which you do, but to ask for your attention in preserving the Sister Witness tree. That's why we have the annual Champion Tree Bus Tour. We want the owners of Champion Trees to know what treasures they have and and to take action to preserve and protect them. The Sister Witness tree is not just a large tree. It's a priceless, irreplaceable repository of native genetic material that has existed prior to the European colonization of America. The Sister Witness tree's existence is endangered due to neglect. And to help preserve this tree for future generations, I've outlined some recommendations to consider the following actions. One, that the Goleta City Council should formally recognize the existence of the Sister Witness tree and its status as the nation's largest California sycamore tree. Number two, the city should initiate a formal arborist report by an independent consulting arborist experienced with very old trees. And number three, that the city should allocate funds to immediately implement the findings of the consulting arborist report, which includes taking measures to protect the health of the tree, measures to reduce the risk of the tree while preserving its national champion status, and measures to protect the critical root zone of the tree. And finally, to create an emergency response plan prepared by heritage tree care experts to mitigate potential weather and other damage to the tree. We invite City Council members and city staff who haven't visited the Sister Witness tree yet to take part in the tour this Sunday and to see how well other communities are protecting their trees. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Sometime perhaps you'd speak about the tree over at Sizzler, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you could go off at length on that, but perhaps you think about coming back and telling us the status of that, because there was some concern about whether it's receiving the necessary nurturing that it too deserves. All right, thank you, Ken. All right, Michael Issa, if you would now.
Hi, Council. My name is Michael Issa, and I'm here to speak to a pending condition use permit at 7580 for a Verizon wireless antenna. And I'd like to bring your attention to the lack of response from the planning department on this subject. At the November 29th Planning Commission meeting, Planning Manager Lisa Prosse stated that the case was subject to a shot clock and that that shot clock would run out in mid-April. Since the 229 meeting at which Verizon's case was presented to the Planning Commission to continue the item, the Planning Department has not put this item back on the Planning Commission calendar. And worse, has failed to answer the questions outlined in the letter I wrote on March 20th, signed by 20 nearby residents. In my opinion, this is not transparent government. And frankly, I think this is embarrassing to me. And it should be embarrassing to the council, the Planning Commission, and the staff leadership. We are merely seeking information on the process of a case that has a huge impact on us. And why should our request be ignored? The time sensitivity issue was brought up by Lisa Prosse. And the question is, why would planning now ignore its own urgency brought about by the case? Our questions have always been, when will this item return to the Planning Commission, and what is the timeline? We're not seeking opinions or decisions. We're merely asking when this case is going back to the agenda. Because of the shot clock issue raised by Lisa Prosse and Jennifer Carmen at the 229 PC meeting when the item was continued. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we will ask of our city manager, Ms. Green, if there are any amendments or adjustments to the agenda.
We have none today. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. And now we would like to make a presentation, a proclamation recognizing the month of April 2016 as Donate Life Month in the city of Goleta. The Mayor Pro Tem has volunteered to present this proclamation. I assume, Scott Burns, that you're going to accept this.
And
well, Joe Darga and
Lisa Martiano.
Hi, Lisa. Nice. So you give Tony a task and he's right on it. There he goes.
We're going to come on this side because Valerie wants to take our picture. Which
one's Valerie? Huh? Who's Valerie?
You don't know who Valerie is. Please, Scott.
Sorry.
Okay, so we have an official proclamation here for a very, very important cause. These two gentlemen can attest to that, that's for sure.
So,
yeah, oh, well, okay, very good. I know these two already. They,
yes.
Yes. So I'm going to read this, and then thank you all for your service. A proclamation of the city of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, proclaiming the month of April 2016 as DMV Donate Life California Month in the City of Goleta. Whereas organ, tissue, marrow, and blood donation are life-giving acts recognized worldwide as expressions of compassion to those in need, and whereas more than 121,000 individuals nationwide and more than 21,000 in California are currently on the National Organ Transplant Waiting List, 190 individuals in Santa Barbara County, and on average 22 people die nationally each day while waiting due to the shortage of donated organs. And whereas the need for donated organs is especially urgent in Hispanic and African American communities, and whereas millions of lives each year are saved and healed by donors of organs, tissues, marrow, and blood, and whereas the spirit of giving and decision to donate are not restricted by age or medical condition, and whereas over 12 million Californians have signed up with the state-authorized Donate Life California Registry to ensure their wishes to be organ, eye, and tissue donors are honored, and whereas California residents can sign up with the Donate Life California Registry when applying for or renewing their driver's license or ID cards at the California Department of Motor Vehicles, now therefore be it resolved that in recognition of the National DMV Donate Life Month, the month of April 2016 is hereby proclaimed DMV Donate Life California Month in the City of Goleta, approved this fifth day of April 2016.
Thank you.
So thank you guys. Applause. Yeah, there we go. Let's all get a picture. Let's put this down. And would somebody from your group want to say something?
We've got 17 minutes planned.
Yeah.
We'll get the special effects going, but I'll give this to Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tony. Basically, for the last couple of years, I've been a Donate Life candidate needing a kidney, and then last May I ended up getting a kidney transplant. A nurse at Cottage Hospital died suddenly, and now I've got a transplanted kidney. I'm very thankful for it. There are about 190 people in the county that are currently on a waiting list for a kidney. And thank you much. I'm going to let Joe talk, and then Lisa. Joe.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for this proclamation. I'm here many times. I have come for many years to accept past proclamations. I'm a heart recipient. The most wonderful gift one person can possibly give to another is his life. And that's what a gentleman in Stockton, California gave when he passed away, and his family said yes. And I got to live. And it's been 13 awesome, wonderful years, extended life because of this program. Since that gift was given to me, I found out so much about this program and how awesome it is, and what a wonderful, well-coordinated program it is, and it does such wonderful things for people. And we just want to cast a positive light on this program and tell people how wonderful it is. And hopefully everybody in this room has that pink dot under California driver's license, because it is so important. And thank you again.
Hi, my name is Lisa Marciano, and I work for One Legacy, which is the organ procurement organization for Santa Barbara County. So I have the three hospitals here I'm assigned to. Thank you for this proclamation for raising awareness for donation. People can sign up at DonateLifeCalifornia.org or in Spanish, DonateVitaCalifornia.org. I am also a kidney recipient. I've had my kidney for 25 years and 3 months. Not that I'm counting, but that is a very long time, so I feel in appreciation every day that some stranger decided to make the decision to donate and that I can be here to give back to my community. I do live here in Goleta, so thank you for this. Also, both my older sisters and my younger brother have had kidney transplants, so together we've lived about 72 years longer than we would have if this wasn't possible. So thank you for the proclamation. Please come to our run walk April 30th in the city of Fullerton. And again, thank you for all you do for the city of Goleta and for the recipients waiting here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, folks. At the risk of boring my compatriots here and several in the audience, I must say, and Scott is aware of this, I had a kidney transplant 30 years ago. And and it was the generosity of my sister who made the contribution in such a gracious way. She, I have it on good authority, she's going straight into heaven, you know. And it's probably important to say she is in excellent health still. She and her husband, they're devout Mormons. They just went on a year and a half mission to Sweden, and she's in perfect health. So the risk that someone might have as a donor, I think, should be minimized on that. I also wanted to say something to the effect, I still follow this, of course, that they've come up with a new medicine that may make transplantation easier. Before, it was kind of a difficult thing to find the right match, but they're slowly working on that to reduce the antibodies that attack the transplant. So hopefully we'll see an upsurge in what's going on in the world of transplantation. Also, you may have seen that they're developing, in process, an attempt to create artificial organs. I don't know which might come first, but I read that they have created, on a 3D printer, no less, the architecture for a kidney. I mean, that it has a lot more things they have to include in that, but technology's racing ahead, and I'm not sure. Hopefully I will not be of need of it, but it's definitely moving in the right direction. So it's very nice to see you folks. I mean, we're part of a cohort here, and I share the gratitude that you do for, I would have been dead long ago, I'm sure of that. So it's a very nice thing to have you here and to be promoting the idea of giving life to others. So thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, All right, and now I believe we're moving to the consent calendar. Madam Clerk, if you would.
Item B1, approval of the City Council meeting minutes of March 15, 2016. B2, annual claim with the Santa Barbara County Association of Governments for allocation of fiscal year 2016-17 Transportation Development Act funds to adopt resolution number 16-dash next in order entitled a resolution of the City Council, the City of Goleta, California, authorizing the filing of a claim with the Santa Barbara County Association of Governments for allocation of Transportation Development Act funds for fiscal year 2016 through 2017. B3, award of professional design services agreement with Rick Engineering Company for the Ward Drive Class 2 Bike Lanes Project. B4, amendment number 1 to the professional design services agreement with Flowers and Associates for on-call inspection services. B5, amendment number 2 to professional design services agreement with Drake Hagelin Associates, Inc. for on-call consulting services for grant application assistance. B6, extend contract for auditing services for 2 additional years.
Right. Is there any interest on the part of a council member to pull one of the consent items?
Move approval.
All those in favor of approving the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It passes unanimously. All right, now we have an item that we will be discussing at some point. Madam Clerk, if you would.
Item C1, 211 Information and Referral Network.
All right, and we have Valerie Kushneroff to lead us through the general discussion on this, if you would, Ms. Valerie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Today we're here to simply discuss policy direction on whether or not the council supports the idea and the concept of the 211 information and referral network. Should the council agree that there is support for this, we'll bring an item back later this year with the budget, which would support the request from the county for $3,763 for fiscal year 2016-17. As many of you know, the 211 hotline is an information and referral service that has operated off and on in the county since 2005. It provides free confidential information and referral to Health and Human Services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in over 150 languages. This last year, in November of 2014, the County of Santa Barbara initiated a contract with the Community Action Commission to run this service, and today we have Fran Foreman here from CIC to answer any specific questions you may have about the program. Unfortunately, the representative from the county that was planning to attend to answer questions had a family emergency and isn't available, so we'll do our best. Since 2014, there has been an intensive data scrub to update the database of referral information available to callers and website users, and a website has also been established to provide this information. Using Google Translate, people can access the information in their preferred language. Last year, over 5,200 individuals called 211 and 3,500 accessed information on the website. The highest percentage of calls were from the City of Santa Barbara, the City of Santa Maria, and then the City of Lompoc. The City of Goleta's calls were numbered at 270, and 10% of these were categorized as crisis calls. That is some basic overview of the service and information, and I'll be happy to answer any specific questions about the information they provide. In terms of how it's currently funded, the County of Santa Barbara funds it from a variety of departments that are listed out in the staff report, but they are experiencing a $61,000 shortfall and have asked the cities within the area to participate in funding this service in the 2016-17 budget cycle. The request for contribution is proportionate to the number of calls that initiated from each of those communities. So with that, I will turn it back over to the mayor, should you have any questions.
All right, are there questions from council members of Ms. Kushneroff? Council member Aceves.
Thank you. We've had this issue before council before. We've had a lot of discussion, not only here, but also we had a discussion among all the mayors at a mayor's meeting, and I believe that was in 2013. My first question is, Ms. Krishnoff, is this program federally, state-mandated? Is it discretionary, or is it mandatory?
Thank you, Mr. Savas. It's a discretionary program.
Okay, that the county can opt in or opt out on.
Correct. The county is offering the service and contracting with CIC to provide it.
Okay. Then I noticed a big difference this time around, and that originally this was funded through County Human Services, if I remember correctly, and now it's funded through alcohol, drug, and mental health. Well, first of all, Human Services for $30,000, mental health $18,400, First Five for $28,000, San Bernardino County Social Services for $11,000, San Bernardino County Public Health for $10,000, County General Fund for $49,000, for a total of $147,640. Now, I don't know if you can answer this question, or maybe Ms. Foreman can answer this question, but in 2013, when this was brought up to the mayor's, the mayor has basically unanimously said we weren't going to participate. The only cities that were going to participate were the city of Santa Barbara and the city of Lompoc, and I believe the city of Carpinteria to a certain extent. But the biggest user, Santa Maria, said, no, we're not going to do it. So, I mean, this is pretty much normal where the county will come to the cities to help supplant their funding that on a program that they've started and they want the cities to participate in. But my question is, are there any cities that have opted in since 2013?
Thank you, Councilmember Savas. The answer to that question that I'm aware of to date is the city of Santa Barbara has opted in to participate this funding cycle, but at this point I don't have any additional information about other cities that have opted in.
I don't either.
Come with them.
I don't either, Councilman Aceves, but I know that this process has just begun. So in the same way that the city of Goleta received the letter, so did all the cities receive the letter. But I don't, since it's the county that's initiating this and doing this, I believe the only city that has opted in thus far in the process is the city of Santa Barbara.
Okay, now CAC took it over from the Family Services Agency last year or the year before?
November 2014, yes.
Okay. So who last year participated?
City, you mean funding?
Mm-hmm.
The list right there.
No, these are all county departments. What cities, of the eight cities, which cities have participated in the program?
City of Santa Barbara, that I know. I don't know because they didn't fund CAC. They funded the county, and the county, we run it for the county.
Okay.
But the funding comes to us in one shot, okay, is what I'm saying. I know we get money, or there's also money coming in from First Five. There's some Human Services Commission money that they have us apply for separately, but it really is a contract with the county.
Okay, I apologize to
That's
put you
okay.
in that position, but it would help if we
sure.
had a county representative here to update us from 2013 as to what cities have participated. Those are my questions right now.
All right, does anybody else have a question? Yeah. Sorry. The Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo, please.
I'm gonna start throwing paper at you or something. I'm kidding. Just one quick question. I was gonna ask about the funding in other cities too, but it's my understanding that whether or not we fund, our residents can still make the call, right? I mean, they're not going to block Goleta numbers if we don't send a check.
Yes, that's correct. The county would have to look for another funding source should the city of Goleta and any other city decide not to participate.
Well, I can think of $5 million extra dollars they have to look for that money in. That's all I have. I beat you to that one, didn't I, Mayor?
Well, you ended with a bang, yeah. All right, Paul, if you don't mind, Councilmember Perotti, let me give Mr.
Absolutely.
Bennett a chance, and then you can bring it to a resounding conclusion. All right, Councilmember Bennett.
I honestly don't have any questions.
Oh.
I'm very familiar with the program, and I do sit on the board
of CAC, so I've had the opportunity to have some presentations that the rest of you may not have had, so I have no questions.
All right, very good. And Ms. Perotti, Councilmember Perotti has shown considerable initiative here and in finding out about that. If you would explain what exactly you've been doing.
Well, I've been doing some research on my own. I'm familiar with 211, having worked with them in the past when I did work for CAC, but it wasn't under your umbrella. It was very beneficial. However, there seemed to be an issue with keeping up updates with the services provided. And I decided that I would call Ms. Foreman and ask her exactly how that's being accomplished through CAC. And she let me know that they have a full-time person, that's her only job, is to make sure that the services, the agencies that are offering the services are updated and kept current so that when you call 211, you are getting accurate current information. She also let me know that the police really enjoy the fact of having 211 so that when they go out on a call and maybe they don't have the names and numbers and the services that this particular people are asking for, they can give them a card saying call them. So I did take it a step further and called 211 myself to ask them some questions that I truly did have about senior services. And I had to wait 2 minutes. It was very, very quick, and the resources and numbers they gave me were very helpful. And I'm feeling very strongly that there is a need for 211. There's no doubt in my mind that there is a need. I do have one question before I go on. I have a little bit more to say, but do we know if the amount that's being asked for 2016, 2017, will the increase in volume of people calling 211, because I think people still don't realize that it's available, and I think the numbers will increase. Will the request for funding increase as well? I'm just curious if anybody can answer that.
Thank you, Councilmember Perotti. That's a great question and one that we had posed to the county several weeks ago when we requested that additional information, and unfortunately don't have it because this person's out on a family emergency. So I'd be happy to follow up and provide that to you after. It doesn't help you today to make the decision, but we do have that question in.
Okay. And then taking a step further, I think what I want to say is that I wholeheartedly support 211. I think that's, you realize I'm going in that direction. But, I'm thinking that we need to not look at this in isolation. There are other, people are coming to me and asking about revenue neutrality, and they want to know what services are being offered for the growing revenue that continues to go to the county. And I can't answer those questions. So what I'd like to do is say is I support 211. I support the funding for 211. It's not asking very much. But for me personally, I think at this time I'm drawing a line in the sand. And any more requests that come from the county, I personally, for funding, I'm going to deny them until we can really talk to the county again. Can they open their door, and can we have a discussion? We started down that road, and I would like to say, let's open that door again. Let's have a conversation. And more importantly, I would love to have a full analysis of what services the county does provide for us that are like services for others that are not paying revenue neutrality. So those are my requests. I know that's separate from the 211 funding. I do support 211. I do support contributing. But I'd like to send a message to the county that we need to renegotiate and we need to look at revenue neutrality before I'll agree to any more funding. Thank you.
What an interesting world we live in. So, I mean, Ms. Perotti was not the person I would have expected to take that stand, but it emphasizes, if anybody from the county needs to have it emphasized, that there's growing discontent in the city of Goleta on the revenue neutrality agreement. So I'm not going to take that stance on this, though we have had disagreements before. Before we take a vote on this, I just want to say that I think there's another issue here, and the Goleta residents need 211. There's a serious need here, just as all of Americans really do. So we have the opportunity to help fund that. So I'm going to support that, although I'm sure we're not unanimous. So if does anybody else have a comment? Yeah, Mr. Valley.
I would just say, you know where I'm going to be on the funding. I think I made that pretty clear with my sarcastic comment a minute ago. But I support 211, too. I don't think anybody here doesn't. And Ms. Foreman, we really appreciate the service you provide our residents. But the way I look at it, that service is going to be provided. We're not obviously asking CAC to fund it because you're going to get your funding from the county if it doesn't come from us. And I don't see why we need to give the county even $3,000 more or $3,760, whatever the number is, for something that they're going to pay for anyway. For, you know, it'd be one thing if CAC was going to have to foot the bill for that personally. I don't feel that would be fair. But in my opinion, the county got more than enough from us already. I'm not going to support funding. If we're taking a separate vote about supporting 211, absolutely. Anything that helps our residents, I approve, but not the funding.
All right, Council Member Aceves.
Thank you. I didn't know we were in debate. I thought we were in questions, but I don't have anything to say negative about 211. When Family Services handle it, they couldn't continue it because of, guess what? Funding. It's all about money. But I am more concerned about making sure that our message is consistent to the county. And it should have been yesterday and not starting today. This is my 10th year on council. The county still has refused to talk about revenue neutrality, although we've tried to open it. I think we've had at least maybe six mayors try it, and we always get the same answer, and that is no. This is not going to make a difference. $2,000 is not going to make a difference. But if we're consistent, and every time they come to us for funding and say, no, we can't, because we've already given it the office to the tune of $5 million plus dollars, then that's the message we have to be consistent with. This program is not being funded by the cities, but the cities are benefiting. The biggest city in the county, Santa Maria, is benefiting from it, and they're not contributing because this is a county-run program. When it was suggested, it wasn't suggested to the cities to start it. It was suggested the counties may consider starting it, and they did it years ago, and they've evolved in different ways of funding. And I'm really not happy with the fact they're taking money from various departments in the county that are really struggling to provide their services, such as First Five, that depends on income from, of all things, cigarette tax sales. But the programs that are needed is the county's dinging them big bucks. Our $2,000 is not going to make a difference. Zero. Zero. Can we afford it? Yeah, we can afford it. But do we want the message being, okay, we're going to give you $2,000 now, but don't come to us again? I think that's really inconsistent. So, until such time as the other cities step up, which will only go to help the county departments that are already being debited a huge amount of money to put this program on, I think we should stay out. So I support 211. I do not support supplanting county funds when they've already taken so much from us in all these years. So I'm not going to do it.
All right. Are there right? Yeah. Council Member Bennett.
Yeah, I too thought we were asking questions, so I would like to give my 2 cents worth as to where my head's at in this program. I'm incredibly supportive of the program. It has already proved its worth. The statistics bear that out. Residents of Goleta do, in fact, need it. But again, it comes down to the issue of revenue neutrality, which is incredibly serious and important, just as the 211 program is. And I haven't been particularly bashful at CAC when these things have come up. And I've made some people on the board not very happy because I've said that. And quite frankly, that's just the way it is. None of their cities are, in fact, paying anything to be a city, but we do. And it's not just a little bit of money. It's a substantial amount of money, and I believe that we're up to $98 million since we've incorporated as a city, and that's only going to increase over time. So I agree with the message. I think that one of the more compelling issues for me. I, too, when I was mayor, I was at an all-mayors meeting where the cities indicated, with the exception of one, at that particular meeting, that they were not going to fund this particular program when it was presented. And so if all the other cities were participating, then that might make me think a little differently. But the fact they're not even participating, and they certainly aren't paying a revenue neutrality payment to the county, there's no way that I can support. So love the program, think it's a necessity, think that it works great for our community, and I want it to see go forward, but I'm not going to fund it when we are going to be sending a check or may already have sent money off to the county in excess of about $5.5 million for just this year.
All right. Any other comments before we take a vote on this? Notice how the revenue neutrality agreement keeps bubbling up. It doesn't really make a difference what it is. I mean, the grievance felt in Goleta is genuine and pervasive, and this issue is not going away for us. Okay, but let's vote on this 2-1-1.
I'll make a motion if you're ready.
Okay.
And before I do, I just want to echo one thing that Councilman Bennett said, is that we do pay $5 million, and that's extra. That's on top of it. We get all the same services that all the cities get, but on top of that, we pay $5 million. So, and they've never given us an accounting of what extra we're getting, because I can tell you right now, we don't get any extra. And that's why they didn't want to respond to that. So I would make a motion that it's a policy of this council that we will not participate as a funding source for the 211 system.
Second.
And so the motion is that we will not be participating as a city in support of 211 for the county. All those in favor of that motion say aye.
It had to do with funding. Specifically funding.
We will not
specifically funding. We're not supporting.
Yeah, okay, if I didn't get that correct. Everybody agrees that the 211 program is vital and needs to be allowed to flourish and serve the people of Goleta. It's just a question of funding. So, and the motion is that we will not be participating in the funding, but
let me restate the motion if I could, Mr. Mayor. The motion is that it will be the policy of this city of Goleta that we will not participate in funding of the 211 system, period.
All right. Well, that clarifies it. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed. So 3-2, the motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie, for your contribution here. And everybody has an opinion on this. So thanks. All right. Now we have a public hearing. Madam Clerk, would you read the essence of this?
Item D1, Tax Equity and Fiscal Responsibility Act hearing for California Municipal Finance Authority issuance of bonds, Village at Los Caneros Affordable Housing Apartments.
All right. We have a staff briefing from Vito Adamaitis, the Director of Neighborhood Services, and Jaime Valdez, the Economic Development Coordinator. Gentlemen, if you would.
Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, good afternoon. Mr. Jaime Valdez will conduct the staff report for you today.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the Council. The item before you is the Tax Equity and Financial Responsibility Act hearing for the California Municipal Finance Authority issuance of bonds. The recommendation is to conduct a tax TEFRA hearing for shorter use, and then the enabling resolution that is accompanied with the staff report to effectuate the recommendation from the City Council. People Self-Help Housing, through their borrow entity, it's called Village at Los Carneros LP, is financing the acquisition and construction of 70 units of multifamily housing as part of the Villages at Los Carneros. This is composed of 69 affordable units, 13 very low, and 56 low-income units, and an additional one unit for an on-site property manager. The borrower is requesting this this item as part of its financing for housing revenue bonds through the California Municipal Finance Authority. We have a representative here, Mr. Anthony Stubbs from CMFA, and also Mr. Carlos Jimenez with People Self-Help Housing. This actual hearing is required under the Internal Revenue Code to conduct this tax-exempt private activity bond issuance. It does in no way bind the city to any payments for these bonds, but it's a requirement under the tax code that the jurisdiction that will have the project in its limits, that they provide an approval as part of the hearing. The city has done this in the past, similarly with Villa Esperanza back in April of 2015. So some of you may be familiar with that. And that was, again, a unanimous vote that provided the funds needed in order for them to be able to pursue the renovations that they're currently taking part in. Other than that, I'm not sure if there's any specific questions on the need or purpose of the TEFRA hearing, other than it's a requirement under Section 147F of the IRS code. So with that said, we're available to take any questions you may have. And we also have Mr. Jimenez and Mr. Stubbs available as well.
All right. So are there questions from council? Council member of Civis.
Mr. Valdez, this is the same process we went through with Cottage Hospital a couple of times, right?
My understanding is it is. I didn't do the Cottage Hospital one, but it's a very similar process.
Similar
yeah.
process. Okay.
All right. Are there any other questions from council? Okay. I am now going to open public hearing and see if there is any comment on this matter.
There are no speaker slips.
There are no speaker slips. So we should, I don't know whether I'm setting the record for this, but that's that on the public hearing. Well, I'm assuming we have no staff responses. So the question is, are there any additional council questions?
I'll make a motion to make it quicker if you want.
I think we're all ready for that, if you would.
Okay, I move that we adopt resolution number 16X in order entitled a resolution of the city council, the council of the city of Goleta, California, approving the issuance of a multifamily housing revenue bond by the California Municipal Finance Authority and approving the issuance of revenue bonds by the authority for the purpose of financing or refinancing the acquisition and construction of certain multifamily housing facilities for the benefit of Village at Los Canaros LP or an affiliate thereof.
All right. That is there any further deliberation on this?
We need a second, right?
Second.
Your turn.
All right. All right. So we have a first and a second. We have a motion on the table. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? So it passes unanimously. All right. Now I believe we have a word from our city attorney.
There's a need this afternoon for the city council to meet in closed session on three items. The first item that's listed on your agenda, we're going to defer consideration of that. We will be meeting on conference with real property negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 with regard to property that is APN 073050033. Also, a conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation, one matter of threatened litigation pursuant to Section 54956.9D2, and conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation with respect to one matter of anticipated litigation pursuant to Section 54956.9D4. We do have another item this afternoon at a time certain. If we're not done with the closed session items at that point, we'll break to from the closed session to take up that item, and if necessary, reconvene after that. There is no reportable action that is anticipated from these closed session items, and there are no speaker slips for anyone wanting to speak on these items.
Well, the afternoon session of the Goleta City Council will now adjourn to closed session. In session of the Goleta City Council. We're coming back from closed session. Is there a report on that, Mr. Giles?
Yes, the council did have an opportunity to meet in closed session this afternoon, a conference with real property negotiators regarding APN 073050033. Direction was provided to the staff. Also, conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation pursuant to section 54956.9D2. Direction was reported to was given to staff. No reportable action was taken on those. We do still have one item of closed session discussion that we would want to take up after we conclude the business this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Giles. So let's see here. I guess we're going to now do Park and Rec. Huh?
So item E1, Parks and Recreation Commission appointments. Mayor and members of the council, we're here today to conduct candidate interviews for the Parks and Recreation Commission and either appoint one candidate to fill the remainder of the term of a vacant seat on the Parks and Recreation Commission and one candidate to fill the vacant student commissioner term on the commission, or direct the city clerk to re-advertise the position openings or to provide other direction to staff. There are currently two vacancies on the Parks and Recreation Commission, one to fill the unexpired portion of a term ending January 2017, and one to fill the vacant student position. Staff was notified by candidate Alan Green yesterday that because of a conflicting appointment, he would not be able to attend today's interview process. Mr. Green has requested that council consider his application on file for the position. Staff has placed sample questions on the dais for today's Parks and Recreation Commission interviews for your consideration. And with that, we do have our two applicants here and ready to go. So.
Okay, we'll bring them in and interview them. Is that what we're going to do now? All right. I'm sorry?
I'm just wondering what your process would be for asking questions.
Well, I assume we talk with them. We have these questions, right?
Right.
So let's grill them, as we will, and then we'll ask some questions afterward.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome here. We're going to fire off some questions that may or may not make your head spin. Who would like to start with you, Mr. Assovitz?
Let's have an introduction first would be my recommendation.
Okay, you're right, sorry.
Hello, so you like me to introduce myself?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. My name is Ann Lynn. I'm a very long-term resident of Santa Barbara County, and I grew up in Lompoc. I went to Cal Poly, San Luis, and then my first jobs were working for Devereaux School at night and Goleta School District during the day. My first job, I worked in for Jack Kramer. I go back a ways, and we did school planning, school plans, things like that. And then I had a short stint in graduate school and came back and went to work for the county as an analyst for public works and planning. And during my county career, I did a lot of different areas of administrative work, including the parks, which I really loved, always did. I was an analyst with Mike Pejos and the Pejos era, and there was a lot of work in the parks. I always thought it was really interesting. And during, I'm trying to think of things that are parks related, I lived in the Mesa for many years and was with the Mesa Association. It's a homeowners group. And I was president for 3 years. I was member 8. And then we worked on the Douglas Preserve and that whole thing. So I had a lot of work, community work, and getting people involved and trying to resolve issues and come up with answers and find solutions to big problems. And that was one. That was a parks problem. And it got resolved pretty well. I guess people are really happy with it. And my latest project, it kind of got me intrigued about working on the commission was, you even had a little hearing here on it, was the conversion of the Ocean Meadows golf course to an open space, which is going to be, I call it deluxe open space, because the university is going to put millions of dollars into making undoing the golf course and making a slough, much like Carpinteria Slough, if you're familiar with that. And that was another community involvement. I could see when the Trust for Public Land was starting to get working with the university that there was a need for some community involvement.
So I have a neighbor who works for planning in Santa Barbara, and she and I got together, and we developed a group called Friends of Ocean Meadows, and we invited the university to come to the neighborhood, and we started a process. It's taken about 4 years. We're still involved, and it's our community group, and we've liaison to all the neighborhoods around what will be, I consider, a park, but anyway, semantics. So those are, that's my kind of latest as far as direct. I also volunteer with the Land Trust for Santa Barbara. They have a Royal Hondo Preserve. I just do that for fun, but I'm very familiar with working with groups of people. And I've been working for 30 years independently. Also, my husband and I have had a small business where we do architectural projects, remodels, new construction, property management. We've done it all. And we've done Santa Barbara, and we've done it out of state, too. So that's kind of a little synopsis. I'll try to hit the parks things, but...
All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Lynn. We appreciate that. Now, questions from council members?
Okay.
Mr. Aceves?
Did you say you worked for Mike Pales?
No, I was the analyst. I worked for county administration, Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
Yeah, I was his budget analyst.
The one question I have is one, why do you want to do this specifically? I know you have a lot of varied background. So why do you want to do this? And secondly, could you tell me what you feel the difference is between advocacy and legislating? Because you'll be in a commission making recommendations to this council.
Okay. First question, why? Well, obviously I'm interested in parks, but I read the city's strategic plan. I'm an old administrative type. I like these things. I like the strategic plan. I was impressed with it. And there was a couple of items on it that I thought that I could contribute to the city. One was on developing a cultural arts program. And the other one was citizen involvement. And then the economic vitality section of it, user fees, and infrastructure and capital projects. I worked on... a plan for Kachuma Lake, and we did some really radical there. We did an enterprise fund, so it'd be self-funding. I have a pretty good background on how things work, you know, taking it apart and mechanics of things. And I thought, anyway, in the cultural arts part of it, I've done lots of things, but one of the things I did that was significant was I volunteered with an orchestra. I kind of got recruited. I didn't really mean to get involved, but they found out I did grant writing, so... we decided that we needed to get community involvement with this orchestra. We wrote 3 National Endowment grants, and they were nationally recognized, and it was incredible. There are things you can do to get communities involved in cities. This was city-oriented, too. So anyway, because of these projects I worked on and how much fun they were and how rewarding they were, I decided that I should get involved myself, maybe help out a little bit. As far as legislating... that's kind of my nuts and bolts, really. That's what I did as an analyst. We wrote law. We actually were staff to the city council, and we wrote and went through all the it's hard. You know, you have the public and the departments, and you're also trying to make it work if you're trying to write something, put it together to fix something or make it function better. So, yes, I'm very familiar with that. And I don't know, advocacy, wow. As a staff member, I had to be pretty neutral, you know, and that's, I think I am pretty neutral most of the time. I try to be analytical. As far as advocacy, the only, you know, I don't know if I was doing any advocacy when I worked with Ocean Meadows, for example, or even Douglas Preserve. I just really wanted to see the best solution to those areas. And there's always compromises, you know. You can't have it perfect your way. I wasn't really trying to do that. I was just trying to get people involved, basically, because I think the more people get involved, the better it turns out. The voices, the many voices, and let the university's, you know, really capable. They can handle it, and they needed to hear from us. They weren't really used to it, so we were a good education for them, and they've actually it's worked out pretty good. Did that answer your questions, Mr. Stevens?
And then some. Thank you.
Sorry. If I'm too windy, just go like this, you know.
No, you're fine. Okay. Did you want to ask a question?
Sure, absolutely.
Mayor Pro Tem.
You can call me Tony. So you're you're running a small business. You're mm-hmm. you're obviously volunteering quite a bit, and thank you for that. So you're sure you had the time and the effort available to commit to another volunteer position, essentially?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I try not to work very hard on the business. I try to let my husband do it. Okay. But every once in a while, he needs some help.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
So that's a yes.
Yeah, I'm old enough. I'm actually retired from the county.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Great.
Do we have questions at this end?
Well, I'm at a bit of a disadvantage because we do know each other and go back a long way. But
that was his analyst, the financial kind.
Boy, I was going to say, I need all the analysts I can get.
Not that kind of analyst.
But what would you say, if you know, what you would like to see for the city in the next couple of years where we would devote our energies and our limited funds to go forward?
Wow. Well, I do think that the city's strategic plan to have community involvement and cultural arts activities, it's kind of a good thing, I think, to bring the community together. It's really tough to do, but I think it's a good area. And I know that the economic vitality is really important, too. And I think parks really do bring economic vitality. I've been involved with TPL for a long time, the Trust for Public Land. It's a national organization. They've done numerous studies. In fact, I think they did a presentation to you one time about the importance of open spaces to a community, the financial, the tourism and all that. And tourism promotion, I know it's not popular with everybody, but I think tourism brings a vitality to a community also. And I think Goleta could bring in a certain kind of tourism that would be really good for the community. And since we're bringing in hotels and things like that. So I don't know, those are a lot of things, but basically, economic vitality and tourism, cultural arts, community involvement. Those are kind of boil it down to those three.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Ms. Perotti?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, your application is quite impressive. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm just wondering if you've had the opportunity to view or watch or be present at any of our current Park and Recs Commission meetings and what your mm-hmm. thoughts are.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was the meeting I went to was on the open space. I'm pretty sure I saw that. I'm not sure if you were there also, but I have watched them on the video once in a while too. I watched the one on the butterfly habitat a few weeks ago. So I'm familiar with it.
Okay. And you said you do have the time, so that was my next question,
mm-hmm.
Mayor Pro Tem. So that's good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we appreciate you coming forth and offering your services here. Does anybody else have a comment before we? We're going to. I think we have. Was Mr. Green not going to make this?
He is not going to attend, but he asked that council still consider him based on the written application submitted.
All right. Okay.
But you do have another candidate waiting for the student.
But that's different
position.
Than this
yes.
one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would go ahead and move that we appoint Ann Lynn as the representative.
I'd second that.
Mm-hmm. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And when is the first commission meeting?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Oh, later today.
Okay. Here? Right here?
No.
They'll let you know.
He's teasing.
Oh.
He's
having fun.
I was like, oh, my gosh. Well, thank you very much.
I
hope to really help you out. I mean, any way possible that I can be of service to the community, I'd be very happy to serve. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, now we have a student, young man, that's going to come in and chat with us.
Yes, we do have our next applicant, Jose Tolis, will be coming out shortly.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Don't assume this is going to be so friendly. No, I'm just teasing. If you would, tell us a bit about yourself, and then we'll ask you a few questions.
All right. My name is Jose. I am currently a sophomore at Dos Pueblos. I am a student athlete as well. I play three sports. I'm involved with four clubs, two of which just started this year, and I have a leadership role in them. And I, actually, that's about it, yeah. Just a little snippet.
All right. One of the questions here, and we have to ask it of you as a student, particularly participating in three sports, do you have the time to give to this?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. It's one of those things where I know the trainers enough to where they have confidence that, oh, yeah, you know, it's okay for him to, like, miss a practice or two because I personally try work hard. I do stuff on the weekends on my spare time. So, you know, yeah. Okay. They're usually very, very much okay with it, just as long as it's a heads up rather than like a last minute, oh, yeah, hey, I have a thing day. Can I go?
Okay. Other people with questions?
If I might, I'd like to ask you, given your age group that you will be representing, mm-hmm. what is it that we can do better in the city of Goleta that you would like to see as far as recreation?
What is it better? I guess if there are any programs out there for people my age, I guess to let it be known that there are programs out there for that, because it seems like most of the things we do is mostly school oriented or just in school, while like things outside of school, it's harder to like, I guess, know about unless you really try and look for it.
Well, we would like you to look for it.
All right.
You know, there has been some discussion about using school property for our rec use. Has that gone anywhere? Is that in limbo? Do you happen to know about that?
Why don't I comment on that when we finish the interview?
All right. Are there other questions of Mr. Tully?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, as soon as you walked in, I felt your enthusiasm. That was good. That's a great thing. And you're a sophomore, so, I mean, this is a year position, but I think there's nothing in our guidelines to say that it can't continue another year. Is that correct?
Right. The student member can continue beyond that year if they are available and they have the desire.
Not that I'm signing you up for anything, but I just wanted to clarify that. That's good. Have you had the opportunity to watch any of our Parks and Rec meeting or gone to participate in any of the meetings?
I actually have been able to watch part of a video. It was relating to the YMCA asking. I'm not exactly sure what they were asking for. I kind of got a little stuck up partway through because my mom was like, come on, let's go. I'm like, okay. And, yeah, I watched part of that video.
Okay, good. That's great. Yeah. And you have the time, so that was still, yeah. So good. Okay.
I'm planning on finishing it.
All right. Council Member Acevedo.
I'm curious, what are the three sports you play?
I play water polo in the fall. I do wrestling in the winter, which that's my best sport. That's why I got the blonde hair. I was on varsity this year, and lacrosse, which is what I'm doing now.
If you can give me a short answer, tell me why you want to do this in a few words.
I want to do this for the future.
Okay.
All right. Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo, did you have a question?
Yeah, I think so. So you're on a few, besides sports, you're on a few school organization boards or leadership roles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did that provide you with some committee type experience? You saw the meeting, so you know what the committee meetings are kind of like as far as what your role is and stuff. So would some of your leadership roles at the school kind of help you with that?
It would definitely give me some confidence and also some, I guess, motivation to try and get myself out there. Mm-hmm. And also I've been involved with other organizations like Future Leaders of America, where I've kind of gotten a feel of how to manage certain things.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Jose. Yeah.
Well, we have been moving with great dispatch today, so I imagine we'll do that right now with you. Is there a motion?
I move that we accept Jose Tolis as our student representative on the Parks and Rec Commission.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have 2 seconds on that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. You're in.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
We appreciate that enthusiasm. So, and we don't know when the next meeting is, do we?
I'm looking to Mr. Adamidis to find out if you have a Rec Commission meeting scheduled for May. Yes, okay, so next month.
So you have the rest of the month off. Come back next month.
All right, well, thank you for putting yourself forward here and helping us out. It's going to be good for the city, I'm sure.
All right, well, thank you for taking some time to interview me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
And Mr. Mayor, to answer the question you posed a few moments ago, the rec needs assessment did identify the need to reach out to the school districts to ascertain whether some of the school district facilities could be used for recreation programming, particularly during the after-school hours, summer hours. Staff has done some preliminary work on that. However, you'll recall we do have a vacancy in a position in Neighborhood Services. The person who was assigned that task is no longer with us. The department director, Mr. Adamidis, and I have been talking about how we need to pick up that ball and continue with it. So our next step is to meet with representatives from the school districts to gauge their level of interest, and then depending on what that is, then to proceed with crafting joint use agreements, and after that stage, looking at specific programming and what that might be and when those programs might have an opportunity to take flight, if you will.
All right. Do you anticipate someone from staff picking up responsibility there, or are we going to hire somebody new?
Well, we're in the process of filling the vacancy in the staff position in that department, okay. Which will help with some of the workload. But also, I want to remind council that, as you know, I'll be asking for a new position for the Neighborhood Services Department. That's recreation manager. And I anticipate that if that position is approved, then one of the primary responsibilities of that person would be implementing the recommendations of the rec needs study, which would also include this item. They would work closely with the director on following the joint use agreements through to conclusion.
All right. When do you anticipate you'll be coming back to discuss that with us?
Well, we have a budget workshop later this month, so you'll, I believe, April 8th. No, that's the wrong one. Well, 28th, I think, might be the date for the budget workshop. Sorry if I'm a little off on that. But we'll have the estimates, cost estimates for council consideration, along with our other revenues and expenditure projections. So you can look at everything as a whole, and then budget adoption is scheduled for the first regular council meeting in June.
All right, very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're at the point of council comments here. Do would one of you like to start here? Mr. Bennett?
You caught me by surprise. I wasn't prepared for going through that, but I will do my best to recover quickly here, and we'll see what I come up with on information.
Should we have Ms. Perotti while you go through here?
I'm recovering as I speak. So I recently had some information put into your mailboxes in regards to some upcoming things that I think are pretty exciting in regards to hydrogen vehicles and the fact that we have a hydrogen station that's going to be or actually is under construction on La Cumbre. So I think that's a real exciting thing for our community, and we're going to be seeing, as we've been told, more and more hydrogen vehicles becoming available. And so this is the next phase in the ultimate reduction in the use of fossil fuels for propelling vehicles. And the nice thing about the hydrogen is that it's every bit as powerful as using diesel. And that was one of the things that I wanted to know about. Mm. So it has the potential to replace diesel in the long run. And, of course, diesel with its particulates and so on is very problematic. So I'm real excited. It's going to take many years for this to happen. But I think it's, from my point of view, I think it's moving along rather quickly. So I'm really optimistic we're going to see some pretty neat things here in the future and making that happen. So let's see. I attended the MTD meeting that Councilmember Aceves asked us to attend on Tuesday, March the 22nd, on the changes proposed for bus circulation and stops. And I found it very educational. I'm very happy and glad that I attended because that's an area I don't know a lot about. So I felt like it was very beneficial and better understanding what some of the challenges and some of the problems that they're dealing with. In addition, there's outreach meetings, and I think we have one coming up at the community center here shortly to further discuss and reach out to the community and explain to them the changes on the horizon. So I would surely like everyone to tap into that, and that information is on our website as well. And then we all, or most of us, managed to attend a meeting at Fairview Gardens, which again I enjoyed. It was educational. It was nice to get an update and what is occurring over there, and I think it looks all positive. I'm pretty impressed how things have been turned around in such a positive way. So I thought that was really a great opportunity to learn the latest in regards to that. I also attended a retirement get-together for our former auditor controller Bob Geis, who has now retired, and that was a great opportunity. I've known Mr. Geis for an awfully long time, and so certainly sent him off. And this morning, his replacement was sworn into office by Judge Hill, so he is now functioning in that position, which I think is absolutely fabulous. So I also attended a meeting with Goleta Beach on Friday the 25th. Bringing in up to speed on the latest information, and I've asked for that information to be brought to our committee. So it's a matter of setting up a meeting, and Michelle and I are working on that to make that happen so our subcommittee can be brought up to speed, and then ultimately a presentation to council as to where we are right now. And then on Saturday the 26th, I attended the docent lunch at the Butterfly Preserve, and I've had the opportunity now to do this for a number of years, and of course it's again always educational. You get to learn a lot of different things that are going on and some of the impacts and some of the greatness of our butterflies and the things they're confronting and so on. So that was very informational. And then on there was attended a fire department promotion ceremony, the largest promotion ceremony in the history of the county fire department, where they promoted approximately 25 individuals on Thursday, March 31st, and that was pretty exciting. And that's kind of what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a few things. I would like to ask if I can get someone to support the concept that we work on some of the points, the two points I'd like to work on that were presented to us today at Council Comments, is our permit system, just in the manner in which it was presented to us, that particular impact. And then the other issue is having our staff work on the suggestions that were brought up in regards to the witness tree, which is a gem, and most people don't even know it exists. They certainly know the one that's at the restaurant, but they're not aware of the one that's across the street. And it has national recognition. It was registered. So it is something that's really special to our community. So I would feel terrible if we ended up losing that tree or there were impacts that we didn't address. So I would just like that we could have staff, and it doesn't have to come back right away, in my opinion. You got a lot on your plate, but but something that you can follow up with in the next 3 or 4 months would be my request.
All right, I'll support that. And something else we talked about, Doug Hardy of Nissan owns the other half of the public access to that tree. And I think I threatened at one point to chat with him about that, but I think we should still see it because we only actually have half of the access to that tree. Is that correct?
I believe the property line kind of does. I think we might have closer to two-thirds, but we don't have it all. It's not all within the city boundary by any means.
All right. Very good. So if we could move that down the road a little bit. All right, Councilmember Perotti.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay, so on March the 16th, the League of Cities had a webinar called Opening Doors to End Homelessness, and I signed up for it, and Claudia Dato sat in with me. And I have the PowerPoint if anybody's interested in looking at it. It was really informative, and I have to say that I think we're doing here in Santa Barbara County and our area, South Coast, we're doing pretty well on accommodating a lot of the suggestions that they made. They did have a staggering statistic that almost 116,000 folks are homeless in the state of California. 73,699 are unsheltered homeless. So those were kind of staggering. So they said California has the highest percentage of homeless folks unsheltered than anywhere else. So if anybody would like to see a copy of the PowerPoint, I'd be glad to share it, make copies for you. It was pretty, I'm glad it was worth attending that webinar. March 18th, I sat in for our mayor for Beacon, and it was a great meeting. I'm really glad I went because they discussed a survey that they sent out to all the agencies that are participating in Beacon, and then some outside agencies as well. And what the survey came up with is that with Beacon is finding itself in a position where they're starting to work a lot, having to work harder and more, requiring more staff time because of climate change and sea level rising, and that they're working with a lot of the municipalities and on that, and their input is critical. So the two things that they identified was the need to do more outreach in the community, because a lot of folks do not know what Beacon does or what they're about. So the decision was made that they will come to each city and make a presentation. So I'm looking forward to them coming here and making a presentation and formally thanking the mayor for his contribution to the KELP project. They were very thrilled. I came bearing gifts of money, and they were pretty excited to have that. So they want to come and formally thank you. But the survey, going back to the survey, it did talk a lot about the need for outreach and the need for more data and technical support. So it was an interesting survey. If anybody wants to see the results, I have it. And like I said, the Beacon will be coming soon to make a presentation to this council. They'll set it up with staff. Okay, so on March 22nd, I had a meeting with a group. They're calling themselves the Newtown Committee meeting. They are a group over in Encino Royale, and it was a large group of people that participated, including our traffic engineer and director of public works. And they asked a lot of great questions, and I think they were happy with some, you know, they're working with the seniors to be able to walk safely to different areas, and they feel such an urgency to get things done quickly. And I tried to explain that, you know, sometimes it takes time and grants. And so it was a great presentation by our public works staff. I'm glad they came, and I'm glad I went as well. And Mayor Pro Tem, you were there too. You might have something to see, your thoughts on it later. I was certainly surprised by the sheer volume of people that were there. Mm-hmm. It was a large group. March 23rd, I went with Cindy Moore to the annual Green Business luncheon, and there were 15 new businesses recognized
for having been certified to be green business, and the city of Goleta received a certificate. So that was, I was glad I attended that. That same day, I was really busy that day. That same day, we had here the C3H Regional Committee meeting. That's the Central Coast Collaborative on Homelessness. And we're still working with getting more people involved and more business owners and sheriff, if they would be involved as well. And kind of planning on doing a point in time count for just Goleta in May. So they identified a couple days in May. I don't have those dates right in front of me right now, but there'll be 2 or 3 days where they'll go out and really just look at the, our area and gather data on who's out there and what their needs are. Let's see. Oh, and then March 24th, we had a Get to Know Devereaux Happy Hour. Mayor Pro Tem was there, and our mayor was there, and it was very, very nice. Devereaux is just a beautiful area, and the idea was to get more people to know that, what Devereaux is up to and what they're doing. Let's see. I think that's it. I do want to send out a special thank you to everybody that was involved with making Deltopia run as smoothly as it did. I think our sheriffs did a great job, our staff did a great job, and the students. I saw a video of them the next day, I don't know how many, 200 of them, mm-hmm. out there collecting trash. And so I applaud their work on this and encouraging it to stay local and have a good time but a safe time. So thank you to everybody. And I was reading our, I won't go through everything, but I was reading our police report, and I was happy to see that our motor department, they're working very actively with our schools, whether it's career day at Kellogg, crosswalk safety, bicycle safety, and also at St. Raphael's school too. So our guys have been out there really busy working at the school, so I truly, truly appreciate that. So thank you. That's all I have to say.
All right. Councilmember Vallejo, or sorry, Mayor Pro Tem.
Either way, it's fine.
Sorry.
No problem. I haven't been that busy, well, with events, because I've been doing taxes for the last, feels like forever. But I did attend a few events. The Newtown Safety Committee event that Councilwoman Perotti mentioned was my first time attending, but they are definitely concerned with traffic issues there. We have two big facilities for seniors, you know, Marvia and Encina Royale, and they're interested in walking. They just want to make sure it's safe. And Rosemary and her staff were there, and they did a great job explaining some of the progress we're making. And I think the members of that committee walked away happy with the results. So we're getting there for them. The Devereaux event was also really great. Councilwoman Perotti talked my wife into joining that board with her, and so I obviously had no choice but to attend, but it was great. It's a wonderful facility. They really helped some great people who you know, work hard, and it was a lot of fun. And it, you know, I don't get out there enough, but it's such a beautiful spot. In addition to that, we had a Boys Club Advisory Committee meeting. I think we call it the Community Council meeting, where the local, where Ashlyn, who runs the local, Ashlyn Strahl, I think her name is, her last name that is, runs the local club. Has tried to recruit people to kind of just be advisors to the club, and especially with local contacts and stuff. So that was our second meeting. I know Deputy Valadez is going to join me at the next meeting because they really want to reach out to the Sheriff's Department and make sure that they're working together to ensure the safety of the youth who attend that facility. And there's a lot of them. Their attendance continues to climb. They're up to well over 250 students going there after school. They run programs. They make them do their homework. It's really great. Especially for the kids in that area that need the help. A lot of, you know, when you're talking about Old Town, you're talking about families where both parents are working. And I know if I were in that boat, I'd be worried what my little troublemaker might be up to after school. And now they have somebody looking after them. And then last but not least, I had a meeting with Jeff Green, who some of you know, he runs the foundation for Santa Barbara City College. And certainly the college has had some issues with the students as far as bringing in a lot of out-of-towners and things like, you know, that's what you see in the media at least. Jeff's starting a program that he hopes to implement by next year, where he's going to guarantee that any of the high school graduates from this area get to go to City College for free. So they're in the fundraising stage. He wants to make sure that Santa Barbara, Carpinteria, Goleta High School students can attend tuition-free at City College, which I think is great. It takes one more roadblock out of the way for these kids to continue their education and hopefully go on after they get their AA to get a BA or BS. But it's an ambitious program. It sounds like it on paper, but, you know, honestly, the way he's got it diagrammed out, I think it's very doable. I think he'll be able to raise the money and make that happen. Of course, he's not covering housing and things like that. You know, they'll have to live at home or find their own housing money, but he's going to try and make sure that tuition is free. So if you get a call or hear about this program, I think it's really worth supporting for our local youth to make sure that they continue their education after high school. And then I did a lot of taxes, so we won't talk about that, though.
Council Member Aceves.
Yeah, thank you. My schedule is also very impacted. I don't want to spend time going through everything I've done, but I do want to highlight a couple things. Councilmember Bennett mentioned the MTD meeting that was here on the 22nd. They're going to come back on April 19th, evening session of this council, to give a PowerPoint presentation and be able to answer any questions that we or the public may have. In the meantime, as mentioned before, the route changes are on our website. They are on MTD's website. The biggest change for Goleta is we're eliminating the Old Town Shuttle. We're redirecting it, as we talked about doing for some time, because that Old Town Shuttle's been so underperforming for so many years. So that we'll have that discussion on the 19th. Here evening session. So those of you that are transit dependent, please either watch or come in and listen. And then this Thursday at 1 o'clock at the Board of Supervisors hearing room in Santa Barbara, we'll be dealing with the Isla Vista Community Service District. That should be a very long meeting. Hopefully we can conclude it with a recommendation on that meeting. If not, it'll be carried over to the meeting in May. So that's my report.
All right, thank you. I too went to the Devereaux Happy Hour, they called it, and it was a delightful experience for me. I had never been there, so it was very nice to see what a very nice facility it was and the dedication of the people who work there. And to know that there are people in our community that are looking out for people who are seriously disabled. We met some of the people there, and you have to wonder, if they had no family, who would take care of them? And Devereaux is the answer for a lot of people, and we're lucky to have them there. Something else I wanted to emphasize, just to say in passing here, that we talked about the Councilwoman, Councilmember Perotti, and I met with Cindy Moore before the last meeting, and we mentioned it then about the LED program that is being proposed, and it's my intention, I've been thinking about it, that we need to move more aggressively on this. So Ms. Perotti and I are going to meet with Cindy Moore, although she doesn't know it yet, and say, let's walk this through how we take the steps. And we know that Councilmember Bennett has been nagging Southern Cal Edison to get the more efficient light here forever, so we know we've got to go.
I don't know if he'd characterize it as nagging, but he's been insistent, maybe.
Nagging in the most productive way.
If I could, I would like to be involved in that meeting.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm sure Jennifer Carmen would also like
okay.
to be.
Okay, very good.
The scheduling should go through.
Here's the thing, though. We don't want it to become so unwieldy that we can't get everybody together and push it forward. Obviously, this thing's not going to be going anywhere of significance without a council approval on it. So, but you'll be apprised of everything that we're doing. We'll invite you, and we'd love to have you come, you know, but getting three people together and getting five together is sometimes more problematic. So,
if I could, we've been working on this issue for some time now, Edison's already been here analyzing what it's going to take for us to convert them to LED.
Yeah.
And staff's already been working on it. We started this a couple of months ago. So it's not a new thing.
Well, actually, Roger, I'm not saying that it is a new thing. We had a presentation that was given it to us in the Green Energy Committee, and it seemed like a good idea. And it didn't exactly sound to me like someone's about to hit it out of the park, but if there's movement on it, all the better. Let's just move it forward a little quicker, perhaps. All right, and one more thing. Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo and I were talking about how we've been left at the gate on several occasions on real estate that we were looking at. And did you want to have a word about that?
Well, yeah, but like we were discussing, I think, and I believe I've spoken to briefly Ms. Green about this as well, I think it's time for us to engage with somebody who's in the profession, not necessarily where he can go out, he or she can go out and actively look for real estate, but at least have somebody we're contracted with to represent us as far as real estate goes in Old Town, because it's not fair to staff to ask them to keep apprised of this. They're not in the real estate business. And so no matter how dedicated they are, and our staff is great, they're not going to hear as quickly about options in Old Town as far as real estate goes. So I would recommend, or at least we explore the idea, that we bring on some sort of commercial real estate person to represent us in Old Town and just keep us in the loop when properties arise, so that we don't find out about it after the fact, as has been the case occasionally. And again, no, through no fault of our staff, but they're not real estate agents. They're not dealing and working with that community the way a professional would on a daily basis. So,
what was your thinking on who would be selected?
Oh, you know, there's several good ones. We've talked about them before. I'm not in a position to pick. I really don't know. There's several. I would ask our city manager to pick to get a couple names from some of the bigger local ones like Radius and et cetera, and decide who we want to work with. I don't have a preference for which one, because there's several good ones.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with that 100%. And Michelle is obviously the person who would select that person. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to do was to, instead of just leave it with it being a good idea, put it into somebody's responsibility, if you will, to do a modest search as to who might represent the city. So
we do have ordinances that direct how the city will determine who we contract with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not handled on an ad hoc basis by the council or an ad hoc basis by staff. We have processes that the council has set in place for all of us to follow, and I think it would be appropriate direction if the council wants to consider this or allow Ms. Green to consider this on her own, that they either she follow those procedures and bring something back to you, or if this is something that the council needs to weigh in and give direction as to whether or not you want to follow those procedures. But those procedures are put there in place to give confidence to the public. And if the public has the sense that the council isn't going to follow the rules it's set up, they're going to lose confidence in you. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that you asked me to do, is to remind you of these things to make sure that the public can and does maintain that confidence in you and the decisions that you're making. So I just did want to bring that back up. We do have some rules in place, and, mm-hmm. and staff would follow those.
Okay, well, that's fine. I don't really care what the protocol is here. The point that Tony and I are trying to make, and I think everybody here can feel it instinctively, is that there are things that are going on in the real estate community in Goleta that we're not privy to. It's mm-hmm. just happening too fast, and I would say that there's insider's information as to what's going on, and we don't know about it. And as Tony says, it's unfair to put it back on a staff person. So I don't care what system we follow to select a person, as long as we come up with somebody, we authorize somebody to be looking out for the city's interest as to what real estate's coming on the market.
So would the process be for us to recommend to staff to implement the I'm using the word process a lot, to implement the process for contracting with somebody to represent us?
At this point in time, it's not agendized for the council to make any discussions. So if the council would like to have this be an issue that the council addresses, then the proper protocol, according to your rules of decorum that you've adopted, would be to see if there's council concurrence to place this on an upcoming agenda. If the thought is just to place this idea out there for staff to follow up and receive the direction that's out there, but not make a decision on it, then I think you've accomplished that. You've given Ms. Green the fact that there is a council interest in this, and she can pursue it. If she doesn't feel that either this is a good idea or that she's comfortable pursuing it on her own delegation, it's something that she can agendize and bring back and have receive further council direction as well. So, I mean, those are your two options. Either if you want to make a council decision, ask that it be brought on a future agenda. If you want to just put this on the agenda and let staff deal with it, you've accomplished that.
Okay, well, I think it would be premature to try and get the council's direction on that, although we are doing things in a speedy way today. But let's leave it as Tony suggesting that we find somebody who can take a look around for us and keep us apprised, and I'll suggest, I'll second that. And then perhaps, Michelle, if you would, talk with Jennifer and any other person who might have an interest in selecting somebody or having some suggestion about having real estate representation.
Well, building on what Mr. Giles has said, what I'm comfortable with is bringing the item back to council for consideration, because I'm happy to have staff bring forward our recommendations, but there are financial implications. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to make sure that that's all clear and part of the decision-making process of all five of you before we enter into an agreement with a firm and give them direction on exactly what it is that they should keep their eye on and keep us apprised of. So that's where I'm coming from. I don't want to assume one thing and not have received the benefit of the full council weighing in on this.
I must not have made myself clear. I thought we were going to leave it as Tony suggesting it. I'm reinforcing that notion. And now it goes to your bailiwick to explore this idea, get the proper input from the people who should be making some decision about that, and then come back and tell us what you think of the idea. Mm-hmm. And if you've identified some of the people some of the organizations, not necessarily individuals, who might provide that function for us.
I think, and I don't want to step in too quickly, but I think what we can do, following our process, is for you to bring it back to us later with some staff input on what the process would be to find somebody. So you're not ready to start screening real estate agents and things like that, but you're ready to bring it back to us so we can work on the process, correct?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I'm comfortable with that. I certainly don't want us to be going off the rails with the processes we've already adopted.
But that's exactly what we're doing. We have neighborhood services that handles economic vitality. They're supposed to be looking at what our city is doing. Mm-hmm. I'm opposed to bringing this back for council discussion unless we're talking about redirecting the neighborhood services in their mission.
Oh,
I know we're not agendized to discuss it. I'm just leaving it at that.
All right. Well, when it comes back, we'll air it out a bit. All right, so does that do it? Are we going back to closed session?
I have a couple of brief comments, and then we can go.
Okay,
if Mr. Giles is ready at that point. I wanted to note that on April 7th, there will be another zoning ordinance open house, and it'll be the third one that we've had. It'll be here at City Hall from 4 to 7 p.m. Also, just so the public is aware, on April 18th, we will have a workshop on management options for the Goleta Valley Community Center starting at 9 a.m., and that's here in council chambers as well. And that's all I had.
Okay. The city attorney, Mr. Giles?
No report, but we do need to reconvene in closed session on one item. That would be on anticipated litigation pursuant to Section 54956.9D4 on one matter, and no reportable action is anticipated. There's no public speakers here on that item.
All right. We will now close the afternoon session of the Goleta City Council and re-adjourn in closed session.
And please announce there is no evening session tonight.
And there is no evening session. Our closed session will run into our evening session, perhaps. Thank you.